The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy in, Courtney, myself in, Razor in, Shime, Jackson, we're all here. Curtis and Greg, both off for the holiday, well-deserved. That was Ian Rappaport speaking about Gerard Mayo and his future and what the Crafts feel about Gerard Mayo being the guy for the future here in New England. We've heard a lot of reports back and forth. I thought Wiggy made a great point at the top of the show that at this point, stop using any type of media member as a mouthpiece. The Kraft should come out and say, Gerard Mayo is the future. We believe in Gerard Mayo. We want him here for a bit.
Well, that's what I think they would say, right? I think they would say, you know, because there's so much speculation around, like, Gerard Mayo and is he on the hot seat? Or it's like, how does he have to perform these last three, or the team, how does the team have to do in order for his job to be safe versus not being safe? So there's just so much stuff going on where I think if the Crafts were to come out and just be like, hey, Gerard's our guy. We knew there was going to be some hurdles. And for us, he's our guy moving forward.
Now, at this point, though, like, the State of the Union is going to be 2 games after the season. So yeah, you're essentially 2 weeks away from them doing that now. At this point now, why not just wait till we do that rather than they come out and say something, you lose 70-0 the next 2 years, and then they're still going to have to deal with it, I guess my point. Like Jerry Jones, you brought it up. He did that with McCarthy 6 weeks ago. They probably should have done it 6 weeks ago and just said, hey, let's get this out of here, like, because of the distraction. But at this point now, does anyone really benefit? Is the narrative going to change?
Well, I would say this, Razor, right? Is there a possibility that they fire Mayo after the season?
I don't think so.
Right. So if there's a possibility, then you wait. I get it. You're waiting till.
Yeah. No. I hear what you're. Yeah. I get it. But I guess people are still that think Mayo's going to get fired or say that Mayo's going to get fired are probably going to say, the Crafts are just doing it so no one says anything. I think it can still happen.
Right. No, like, I get that, but it's a little bit if you come out and say it, and I know we're talking about with Jerry Jones, but like McCarthy's on the last year of his deal. It's Mayo's a first-year head coach, so it's a little bit different situation because even with McCarthy, you're still like, well, if you're not going to fire him, why not give him a new contract, right? But with Mayo, it's first year, and there's already these reports like he's on the hot seat.
And just take the narrative out of our hands. Take it out of anybody that's speaking on radio, TV, any fan's mouth. Like, if the Crafts just come out, I don't care if there's 2 games left of the season and nothing's really going to change. Them showing that they have any type of hope in Gerard Mayo and Gerard Mayo being the guy, I think that just eliminates so much pressure off of players, off of staff that are constantly having to be asked about it. I believe Gino is on the phone right now, Shime, in Dorchester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my calls. Happy holidays to you guys.
You too. Good morning.
Uh, Good morning. I just got to say, I'm really getting sick of the negativity surrounding Jerod Mayo. If you look at this last game, I don't think coaching had anything to do with it. I think it was players. Just simply put, we don't have enough talent. So, you know, it's really getting under my skin, not just you guys, but the entire landscape of Patriots media is just crushing our boy Mayo, because you remember, we're going to burn some cash. Who's in control of that? Imagine if Greg and Curtis and those guys took away the best mics you guys have, the best, you know, your Twitch account, like, and they're, hey, just go work with this, you know. Stop blaming him. It's the players. It's the team that was put together. You know, I just think we need to give him at least another year or two. No coach in the world can coach this team at all. And, you know, I would just like to hear your thoughts on that, guys.
Thank you, Gino.
Well, that's always been, I think, you and myself,
yes,
our narrative. Like, we've thought that. And I think Greg is more of the way Mayo has done things.
Greg and Curtis don't like the way in which he interacts with media and walks things back, along with mistakes he's made on the field.
Yes.
Scheim, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said that he was soft, coaching scared. I don't know where you fall, where you want him to go or not. I don't think he looked like he was coaching scared yesterday, but...
Well, I mean, in the first half, they weren't, but in the second half, it went back to old habits, and it looked kind of ugly, and it wasn't great. And, I mean, look, I think the majority of the season, yeah, they've coached scared. They coached not to lose instead of coaching to try and win a football game, which is, in my opinion, just not how it should be done. But I've always believed that he'll be back. I just think it would look awful for the Crafts to put him in a, like, unwinnable situation and then fire him after a season when they knew he had no experience and they put him on a team that had very little talent.
And I think the other thing with the situation is some of it, I get it, he brought on himself, is because the way he communicates with the media, in the sense where he'll be like when he says, and we talked about it, it's like, oh, this team is, you know, we were soft. Like, as a player, you know what that means, but maybe as somebody who doesn't play the game and never been there, they don't know what that means, and then he has to walk that back. Or he says, well, once you get on the field between those white lines, there's nothing I can do. Like, as a player, we get it, but the fans don't get it. So I think the biggest thing for him, where a lot of people have kind of said maybe he's not ready, has been a lot more about the way he's handled the things that he said to the media and then had to walk those
Which
back.
Is crazy to me. Like, he's a guy who talks with passion. He's a guy who, you know, talks in the moment and probably doesn't think or script out what he's going to say. I'm fine with that. And I think that Patriots fans, as a whole, we are spoiled and we're mad no matter what. We were mad when Bill Belichick was losing and was not giving the media anything. Now we're mad that Jerod Mayo's losing and he's giving us maybe too much and then walking things back. It's just like...
But it seems like it looks like he's overwhelmed, unprepared, and that's...
Does he seem overwhelmed?
Well, no.
No, that's the narrative, though.
Yeah.
It's an easy narrative in the walking... Like, again, if and you use it to... The big thing was he tried to get away from Bill, right? He tried to do the opposite of Bill. And to Wiggy's point, the players do not care about any of this stuff. There's not one guy in any of these locker rooms in the city that are saying, did you hear what Coach said on talk radio yesterday afternoon? Like, can you believe he's doing... Like, guys are worried about their job and focused on doing what they're doing. And the only time they're worried about what a coach says is when they're in their office and they're getting yelled at or being told what to do. The contrast is so different. I'm like 30,000 feet tall. This I listen to everybody in the morning. I listen to you guys, and it is one thing where if you the looser you talk in this world, the more you open yourself up to.
Yeah,
right.
And it's very obvious in this contrast over the last 18 months, just in this building, of what it was and what it is now, and how different the narrative is. And there is a way to probably rein it back, say a little bit less, just to not have to deal with it. And again, as the leader of the face of a corporation, if you'd want to bring it to the corporate world, less controversy is better typically.
But like, looking in Twitch right now, RJ Santo 9458, he's in way over his head, not enough experience. He wasn't even a coordinator.
Right, and that's because of more about what he's said. Right. and walking things back where, like, okay, he's in over his head. Well, that's because of the things kind of him sticking his foot in his mouth. When you, if he didn't say those things, you would look and you go, okay, all right. You look at his in-game adjustments or, you know, lack thereof or how they scheme up things, and then you would be critical on that, but you would lean more towards maybe they don't have the talent. You know, so maybe let's see what he looks like next year when they have the talent. The defense isn't as good. Maybe it's because they don't have the talent. But when he says these things and he has to walk them back, then it's like he's in over his head because he doesn't have the experience.
So then looking at what to do for next season, who's number one on the chopping block that you would say it's time probably to part ways when it comes to coordinators, Elliot Wolf?
I would say that their biggest issue is going to be is DeMarcus Covington.
Yeah.
Because even if you're not a huge Alex Van Pelt fan, you can at least say Drake May looks the part, and he looks like he gets better a little bit every single week, and he's not making the same mistakes, so you can give that credit to Van Pelt.
Yep.
On the defensive side, you might say, well, you know, Gerard didn't trust DeMarcus Covington to be the defensive coordinator, and the defense doesn't look good. They struggle. They can't really get after the passer. They get ran all over, and so part of it is, does Gerard get more involved, or is it time for a new defensive coordinator? I think that, to me, he would probably be number one on the list. And Elliot Wolf, I think, isn't it really on Kraft?
Yeah.
Right? Is Kraft willing to spend money? And if so, Elliot, go get those damn guys.
Yeah, I just think that when you look at it all, people just want Gerard's head, and they've wanted it since week two.
Because he's been walking stuff back. Like, he sat in here with us and said Drake May is outperforming,
yes,
Jacoby Brissett, and then we'll say, well, why isn't Drake May starting?
Yeah.
And well, I didn't really mean it like that. He's outperforming him right now, but we look at it, you know, mini camp, training camp, a whole thing. We take all that in consideration. And then that's why people.
But
are
that's
like,
not how he really feels, I don't think. I think that's the power be that says, hey, you can't go out and say that if we're not actually starting Drake May at quarterback. Like, I think that he says how he feels. Then he goes off air or off camera and is told, hey, we need to reel that in a bit, like the burning some cash,
right?
The Drake May's outperforming Jacoby,
but it's a bad look on him.
Yeah, but he's taking the bullets.
But that's why people don't see it that way. They see it like Gerard saying things and then walking those things back. That means he don't know what he's doing, or it's too much for him. Because if you knew what you were doing, you wouldn't be saying these things, or if you had the experience. And that's where it comes to this whole, he's not experienced, he's in over his head. That's the reason why. It's more because he's putting his foot in his mouth, and people are like, well, if you're doing that, and you're still having some issues like on the field, he's not ready.
And especially here, if not everywhere in the football world or in pro sport world, but especially in here, it's completely accepted not to ever hear the truth.
Yeah.
Patriots fans have completely are okay with the fact they're never going to get the truth from Bill Belichick. They know it. Whatever
right.
he says isn't real. We've known that for 25 years here. So they think that they know how to run the media better than most other fan bases and it's the Patriot way. You don't tell
right.
anybody anywhere. I've heard that for 20 years. The Patriot way is you don't tell anybody, you don't give anybody any weakness, and they see telling the truth and speaking with emotion as weakness, and,
right.
and that's why they're jumping
and that,
on
And
it.
That's the biggest thing about fans. Like we did it in hockey with Bruce Cassidy when he was talking about, you know, I don't know if he was like specifically talking about Jake DeBrusque or just guys not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We used to call it throwing guys under the bus, right? And we're like, well, you're doing with DeBrusque and Coyle and some of these lower level guys, but why aren't you doing it with Marchand or at the time Bergeron or Pasta? So it's like the way that you communicate in the media, fans are now going to look at you and go, oh, he's losing the locker room,
yeah.
or he's losing the dressing room,
or he's inexperienced. Oh, that's not what a real experienced
right,
coach would
right,
do.
Right, right. And they did it, you know, like, oh, Montgomery, he doesn't really know what he wants to do. He's not. So And that's why people, when you talk as a coach, it's probably very, you got to really walk a fine line, because people will then criticize what you're saying more than how you're coaching the team.
Yeah. All right. Well, a little bit of an update for Jerod Mayo. He's going to join us between 9:15 and 9:20 this morning. So let's take a break now. I see Blair, Leo, Susan all on hold. We'll get to you after the break. The Greg Hill Show, Wiggy and the Woman with Razor. We'll be right back.